From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Tracking down a coolant leak isn't always simple because the problem can come from multiple components. K-Seal delivers a one-step multi-purpose repair that you can trust. One symptom is a fruity smell both inside and outside the vehicle. This may indicate the heater core is actually leaking into the cabin. Another warning sign is a noisy water pump. This could mean the impeller is damaged, which could cause severe and rapid overheating as the coolant flow is restricted or stopped. Symptoms include a spiking temperature gauge, strange whirring or grinding noises from the engine bay, steam from the radiator, and poor cabin heater performance. Both situations call for K-Seal Ultimate. Simply shake the bottle and pour into the cooling system via the radiator cap or expansion tank, then run your engine as normal. From head gasket failures to leaks in your water pump casing, coolant leaks can come from many places. Visit kseal.com for a concise list of common symptoms and the right solution for each situation. And remember what we always tell you, you don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.
This is The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, we tape every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can call us 866-365-7746. If I'm saying it too fast, you go to thecarshow.com. It's right there on the front page. Very easy to find. It's our email, our call-in times, when we're here live, our voicemail. So you can leave us a voicemail if you want to. We'll play it on the air and answer your question. We're easy to get a hold of. We don't hide well. Dan doesn't hide too good, and I'm too big to hide, so that's how it works here.
Well, sometimes, you know, and if we're talking about hiding things, that reminds me of some of the emails we get where people are neglecting your make and model of a vehicle. You know, that's kind of difficult to diagnose a problem if we don't know what we're...
Right, if you don't know what kind of car it is to start with.
Yes.
Year, make, model, mileage, and as much detail as you can get us. And Dan can help you. But if you don't know what kind of car it is, you know, he doesn't know how to help you.
Well, but you can.
I'm happy. Here's my advice to everybody with car trouble. Get another car.
That's what I do.
I'm having trouble with this car. What am I going to do? Get another car. I'm out. When you have as much money as me, Dan. Oh. I'll just pull another one out of the garage.
So that's how you, I was wondering how you do that.
My 14 car garage, which one should I take today? I was like, wearing different shoes. I love people like that. It's like, how many cars do you have? One. That's all I can drive at a time.
Well, but Brian, I thought you said that you can't park a car in your garage. Come on now.
I can't. There's too much junk in there. It's on my list. Clean the garage so I could park indoors for the winter time, which I have. We've lived in this house probably 15 years. I have not once parked in the garage.
I believe that.
And it seems sad to me. It really does. Like, you should clean that out. It's like, somebody should clean that out. It feels like that should be somebody's job. I'm not sure whose. And everybody points at me. It's like, more jobs. We do have an email here. The email address is thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. Remember, year, make, model, mileage, and as much detail. This person has a 2016 Mazda CX-3. They don't mention mileage. But he says he got his oil changed about a year ago. And they checked the transmission fluid, but they didn't close the case. And they said it's a dipstick that closes with a bolt. And they didn't bolt it back down. He said he noticed sludge on the transmission, wiped it off, and wasn't thinking much of it, just closed it back up. So when it got warm outside recently, he said it was like my car barely wanted to move while it was warm, and he could smell a burning smell. He did a quick Google search, and it told him the fluid was bad, so he went and got the fluid changed. He said he read that they change about 40 to 60% of the fluid. He said while the problem has mostly resolved, it still has a few issues. So he's wondering if he should let the new fluid just keep working and do its thing, or if he should try changing the fluid again at some point, and if so, how long would you wait?
Right. Well, you know, just like anything, we talk about doing this type of service and doing it as like a transfusion.
Yeah.
Whatever they drain out, which is not going to be a lot, it's going to be maybe at least half, you're going to want to replace with the new recommended fluid. And then, you know, give it a little bit of time, maybe put 500 miles on it, and then do it again. But the second time around, what I would do is I would use an automatic transmission protectant and cleaner.
Okay.
Hot Shot Secret has a product that is called Shift Restore. And what that's going to do, it's going to take care of the oil that hasn't been changed, but it also is going to be a cleaner. And, you know, this cleaner, it's going to do, it's going to eliminate the rust and corrosion, and it's going to reduce friction and reduces operating temperatures, but that will do it. And why you want a cleaner is if it has not been addressed or changed, over time, this cleaner and the fresh fluid will slowly put it back to where it needs to be. But I would do this sooner than later. And sadly enough, we always forget about things, Brian, and, you know, like changing our transmission fluid, or simple things like cabin air filters that are forgotten about, or the age of your battery. So, you know, again, it's preventative maintenance. And, you know, and I know a lot of people rely on, if they take their vehicle into, we'll say, an oil change place, for an example, that specializes in that. It's never brought up, where a lot of the, you know, good shops, I don't want to say good, but a lot of the shops out there will have a maintenance thing on their computer, where it'll show, you know, what's due at so many miles. And if, you know, if we have a service technician that would come up to you, for an example, and say, Brian, you know, according to your mileage, you should have your transmission fluid serviced or changed. Yep. And you would say, oh, well, I did that last year. You know, so because they really don't know, because a lot of these applications are sealed transmission. There's really no way to check the level itself unless, you know, you're a professional and you can do it on a lift and do it that way. So always go by your driving habits too. Sometimes the manufacturer may recommend 100,000 miles. Well, that's fine if you're doing 10 or 12,000 miles a year. But what about that person that only puts on 4,000 or 5,000 miles a year? That's considered to be severe driving. So, you know, you want to look at all that. It all is based back on preventative maintenance.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like if you're driving it a lot, it would be severe driving. And that's, I think most people, you don't think, it's not intuitive to think, oh, well, I only drive 4,000 miles a year. That's not severe driving. Severe driving is that truck driver who's doing, you know, 40,000 miles a week, you know.
Right.
So it's not logical. So a lot of people, I don't think, just automatically think that that's severe driving, when it is. It's harder on the engine.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I got a couple more questions for you, Dan, like I always do. And we got a couple more emails, so. You hang around for the rest of the show?
Well, I'll try to.
We'll be right back. This is The Car Show. The Car Show is brought to you in part by Advance Auto Parts. Advance Auto Parts makes car care simple with a range of free services. Stop in for free battery testing and installation, free wiper blade installation, and free engine code scanning. Quick, convenient help, all designed to keep you confidently on the road. And by Dorman Products and their power window regulators and motor assemblies. Featuring added cable guides, protective sheathing, and an upgraded plug-and-play smart motor, this Dorman OE Fix solution reduces cable stress, resists real binding, and calibrates seamlessly to your vehicle. You can learn more at DormanProducts.com. A clear windshield is an important part of safely operating your vehicle. Peak Silicone Plus wiper blades feature a tri-layer wiping element constructed with a silicone compound to extend life. 2 million problem-free wipes, to be exact. Peak Silicone Plus and Silicone Platinum wiper blades last 4 times longer than the industry standard, and the Easy Snap Universal Connector System fits most wiper arm styles. You can learn more at peakauto.com, available at amazon.com/PEAK. Today's Q&A segment is sponsored by Hot Shot Secret. David writes in from Ohio about his 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee. He says, every time I try to pass someone on the highway, my engine sputters and hesitates. Is my fuel pump about to go out? Well, that sluggish performance is often caused by heavy deposit buildup on fuel injectors and intake valves, a common issue for direct injection engines. Over time, low-quality fuel creates carbon and varnish that choke off your fuel spray pattern. Before you replace any parts, there is an alternative, Hot Shot Secret Gasoline Extreme. This powerful cleaner chemically dissolves burnt-on carbon to restore peak performance and boost fuel economy by up to 7.9%. Infused with LX4 Lubricity Extreme, it also coats and protects your fuel pump and upper cylinders. Simply pour one 12-ounce bottle into your tank during your next fill-up. It deep cleans the entire system while you drive to restore throttle response and smooth out that rough idle. Hot Shot Secret offers problem-specific solutions that are powered by science. They're available at Amazon and online at hotshotsecret.com.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Want to remind everybody, we're brought to you in part by Peak. With 3 premium options, Peak Power Vision Lighting is engineered to increase light output, producing Peak's best nighttime illumination yet. You can learn more about all of that over at peakauto.com. We were just talking, Dan, about maintenance and being reminded of things, and I feel like, and this, I've been going to the same oil change place, 1, 2, 3, at least 4 cars now. I've taken my car to this same place because they're reliable. I can depend on them. They do good work, and they're not trying to upsell me all the time. Like the last time I went in with my old car, it was like, you're overdue for a transmission fluid change. And I said, oh, well, then let's do it. Drained it, showed me how much they took out, showed me how much, And I think it's important to, with a technician or an oil shop or anybody, if you find somebody that's reliable and does really good work, go back to them. And they can help you with these little reminders, right?
Oh, yes, always. That's why you want to favor one place. So many people will, don't get me wrong, they'll maintain their vehicle.
Yeah.
But they jump around. Oh, this place, oil changes are on sale.
Yeah, or this place is closer right now. Sure.
Right. Or they could be a do-it-yourselfer and change their own oil.
Right.
Depending on weather. I know people that do that, but yes, always. If you can find a place that's reliable and do just more of the recommendations about changing your oil or your air filter or cabin air filter, you want a shop that's a little bit more diversified that can make other recommendations or have the qualifications. I know a lot of these quick change places you drive in and you're on a pit.
Yeah.
Where if you go to another type of shop, what they'll have is they will have a lift that contacts the frame of the car, and they'll be able, while the oil's draining, they'll look up underneath the car and they'll wiggle the wheels and they'll look for any type of leaks. And that's the advantage of that too. But it all depends. Some people, like you, Brian, they change cars every 3 years and it's not necessary. When that warranty's up, it's time to buy a new one. So,
yeah. Well, I feel like it's important to tell people because I know people that do that too. They do wherever it's on sale or wherever it's closest or wherever, I'm out and I thought about it and there's one right there, I'll go there. But if you go to the same one over and over, they'll have records, of what kind of oil you've used in the past and what other services have been done. And they'll remind you, the one I go to, they check my air filter every time I'm there. And then he'll remind me, you should check your cabin air filter too. We don't do that, but don't forget to do that. When they check the air filter under the hood. And I think that to me, that's invaluable because I'm the why to today, what I could put off until tomorrow kind of guy.
Oh, right. It, you know, a lot of these things too, and you look at it this way, and it's important that you know, especially like with cabin air filters, some of them are very difficult to change. Some are easy. So, you know, I always look at the point, if it's going to take 15 minutes to take it apart, you might as well put a new one in.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah, if you got to do that to check it anyway, you might as well have a new one ready to go.
Right, right.
We got a call. Let's go to Steve. Steve's got a 98 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. Sorry, Steve, my tongue got in the way of my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying there. How many miles on the Jeep?
314,000.
And you're having some stalling issues?
Well, I have a starting problem. It when it does start, it runs rough. And the things that I've done to this, it's also stalling. It's been running about 400 RPM. And I had the plugs, wires, distributor cap, rotor changed, put new injectors in it, cleaned the throttle body and the mass airflow sensor. It's been increasingly getting harder to start, so I listen to your show faithfully.
Well, thank you.
Went to the turning on the ignition and then shutting it off, turning it on, turning it off. Third time it'll start, but it starts really rough, like 2-3 cylinders. After about 20 seconds, it smooths out, starts running fine, runs fine. But now it is starting to stall out, running low RPM. And there's also, if you park it, go in a store for about 20 minutes. When I come out, starts fine. When you jump on the gas to pull out, it backfires briefly. Then it runs fine. Help.
Okay. So Steve, are you a do-it-yourselfer? Do you do a lot of this work yourself?
I used to. I'm getting up in the years. I have a good mechanic now.
Okay. Has he done a fuel pressure volume and test on the vehicle?
No, and I called him yesterday and said, just go ahead and change it. I looked up, the previous owner kept records, and there was no mention of a fuel pump. And so we're going there, and I'm hoping that's going to solve some of these problems. Hmm.
Okay, so you did not replace the fuel filter yet.
The
fuel pump.
No.
Okay, got it. So that's a starting point, but you know, you look at it this way: fuel pumps, every time the engine's running, so is that fuel pump. Okay, and they can wear out over time, and like you stated earlier, you have to turn the key on, off, on, third time it starts. That's an indication that the check valve in the fuel pump could be bad and it's draining back to the tank. Now, another issue that's a concern too, with problems that come and go, a timing chain deflection test. Keep in mind that you could have a stretched timing chain, and if that's the case, you know, it's going to have a low running idle. You're going to have all kinds of problems. And that's a simple test to do, because all you do is you're going to take and rotate the crankshaft a little bit. You're going to, of course, the engine's not running when you do this. You're going to take and you're going to rotate the crankshaft and make a reference point, whether it has a timing mark there or not. Mark it with chalk, and then what you're going to do is you're going to have two people here, and then you're going to have someone look at the top and then go the other way, go counterclockwise then, and see how much deflection's there. If you have an inch and a half of deflection, that's going to create all kinds of problem with runability and drivability. So these are the two issues. But before you even start, you know, chasing a ghost, I would highly recommend do that fuel pump volume and pressure test. That's important because if he can get, we'll say for an example, if it's 40 pounds and having the pump run for 15 seconds and it draws out a quart of fluid, you know, why spend money you don't have to at this time? We want to get to the root cause of the problem. I know it has a lot of miles, but you know, I've seen some of them vehicles that have 500,000 miles on them and they're still running with the proper preventative maintenance. But two concerns, do that test first because it's cheap. In fact, that's why I asked if you're a handy guy. Advanced Auto Parts has a program where you can actually get a fuel pressure gauge and volume test kit. You put a deposit down, it's not going to cost you any money, and you can do that procedure on your own. Very simple. The engine doesn't even have to be running because all you're doing is you're turning the key on. And, you'll look at the pressure gauge and see what the pressure is. And then, of course, turn the key on and off, open a valve up and have the gasoline drain into a container and see how much volume is there. So, I think it's going to probably be one of the two items right there or a combination of both.
Very good. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Steve. Let us know what happens, okay?
Will do.
Thank you.
For your...
Thank you. We'll be back after this. This is The Car Show. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. A DIYer recently came to us after completing a brake job on their 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Despite installing brand new pads and rotors, the vehicle suffered from a spongy pedal and an embarrassing squeal right out of the driveway. Well, the problem? Skipping a critical prep step, degreasing the new parts. New rotors come shipped in a layer of protective manufacturing oil to prevent rust on the shelf. If you leave that film on the metal, your new brake pads will absorb it like a sponge. And once that oil bakes in, it ruins the pads, leading to glazing, noise, and erratic braking. We turn to CarQuest Brake Parts Cleaner from Advance Auto Parts. It instantly dissolves oil, grease, and stubborn contaminants, drying fast with zero residue to ensure a clean, safe, and quiet break-in period. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs, including getting your vehicle ready for summer road trips. You can learn more at advanceautoparts.com.
Car Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, if you want to get a hold of us, just like Steve did, every Thursday, 10 a.m., Dan and I are sitting right here waiting for your call. 866-365-7746. Very easy. You heard how nice we were to Steve. We'll be just that nice, maybe nicer to you. It just depends on how Dan's feeling and, if there's good snacks in the room with me.
Well, it's not so much the snacks, Brian. You know what it is. It's where they change, though, is when you start asking for their credit card number.
Everybody gets a little prickly when I start asking for money. I don't know why. This isn't free. Dan's got to get paid.
Yep.
I want to remind everybody really quickly here that we're brought to you in part by Caseal, the global leader in coolant leak repair. Fixing a coolant leak doesn't have to be complicated. Caseal is a one-step coolant leak repair for everyday leaks. No draining the system and no flushing, no antifreeze worries. Just shake, pour, and go. You can learn more about that right there at kseal.com. What's been going on this week with you, Dan, in the shop? Anything good or bad?
Well, I don't like to get into the complicated areas, where I know sometimes if it gets too technical, I see your eyes glaze over and you start falling asleep. So, I like to do the simple things and basic things.
I'm a simple guy. I like simple things. Yeah,
but mainly for our listeners. So, I had a customer bring a vehicle in. It was a 2016 Dodge Durango, had a 3.6 liter engine. And his complaint was, and there was no check engine light illuminated, but he said that it would have a tip in hesitation, sometimes a rough idle, and it would come and go. And that was a strange thing. And sometimes when we have these intermittent problems, they're hard to find. So naturally, I did a whole system scan with my test equipment. And what I came across is that he did have a service code pertaining to the variable valve timing solenoid, which on this vehicle, it has two. What I found out, this was on bank one, is that it did set that code, but again, I cleared it out and it didn't come back. So I said, well, I spoke with the customer. I said, let's do this. We'll take a chance. Mm-hmm. Let's replace the variable valve time solenoid. Now we have to remember this is an electrical component and a mechanical component. I said, maybe it's heat related. I don't know. So naturally, I do my regular thing. I made a phone call to Advance Auto Parts, asked them what, told them what I need, told them I needed a variable valve timing solenoid. And they said, well, today's your lucky day because we do have it in stock, which I always like when it's in stock. And the best part about it, that didn't make me make a phone call to the dealer. They had a Dorman OE fix replacement solenoid that was shipped over to me. Simple thing to change because it's right on the front of the engine. And, installed that part, made sure the trouble codes were cleared out of the system. And apparently, billed the customer. And it's been, 4 days now, 5 days now. He didn't call me back, so I believe it's fixed.
That's your theory. No news is good news?
Right. And that's why sometimes I want to let our listeners know that if, a shop's making a recommendation and, it's an intermittent problem like that, you guarantee that it's going to work, but on intermittent things, you have to have a baseline and a starting point.
Right.
And, naturally you look at wiring and things like that. And, that wasn't the case. I mean, it was low mileage. It only had 60,000 miles on it, but keep in mind, a lot of these products get destroyed because of lack of oil change services. It had an internal blockage and electrical things. Very difficult to change. And it was not an expensive item. So go ahead and do it. And all I know is he must be happy or he's mad. It didn't fix it. And he took it somewhere else. I have no idea. But again, it's.
Yeah, usually mad is when you hear from them. Happy, you don't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But you're right. If it's an intermittent problem and you're taking it to a technician, then if it doesn't do it for them, they have no way to know what's going on. So they got to set a baseline to know, what's normal before we can decide what's abnormal, right?
Right, right. And what I do, anytime I replace any type of electrical components, in fact, we talked about this last week, and it's a relatively newer product for CRC. CRC's been around forever, especially with their brake cleaners. They've been around for 50 years. They had the green can and the red can, and yep. I always wash that area off so there's less of a chance of getting any dirt or grease or debris into that area when you pull that out. You don't want any of that to going into the engine. So I bought a case of their CRC foaming brake wash, which I like that. In fact, I really like it because when you spray it on, it stays there a little bit longer. And then wash it off, leave it on there. And then I finished it off with a can of the red CRC cleaner and it was perfectly clean. And then that way, I changed the component, but great product, the foaming cleaner from CRC, the brake cleaner, which, you could use it for anything, that has grease on it. And it's great, great product. I wish they would have had that a lot sooner.
Well, you must like it. You bought a case.
Well, always. Well, you have to in case I drop one. You got to have extra cans.
I don't know where I left it. I'll get a new one. I'm always misplacing things around my house.
I have the same problem. But even in the shop, when you have technicians, you turn your back and the other guy will grab the can. where did that go?
I don't know, boss.
Yeah, where
suddenly,
did it go?
Suddenly my toolbox is full, but I don't know where it went.
Well, there it is in the bottom drawer.
There you go. I got another email here. This person has a 2021 Chevy Tahoe 5.3 liter V8. They said there's been a strong smell of exhaust fumes in the cabin when the heater's on. When the AC's on, the smell's not there. So he's taken it to several mechanics who claim not to experience this odor. Speaking of intermittent, he says he's done a little research to see what the root cause could be. And online it says either an exhaust manifold or an air intake or perhaps a loose duct clamp. He goes, here are any possibilities or am I way off base? Here's a few other notes based on his experience. He said the odor happens when the heater's on. Odor is stronger when it's idling, like at a stop or in a driveway. It seems to go away after the car's warmed up a bit. Seems to be less when he's in motion. He's changed the engine and the cabin air filters a couple of times since this. He said there's been no modifications to the vehicle, but he purchased it used, so he's not sure about damage. He's taken it to three mechanics in the dealership. None of them can smell this odor when they have it.
Well, that's because what kind of test they did. They did the sniff test.
Yeah.
Okay. And what this is a shop's best friend. It's a smoke machine. And this machine uses low compressed air. And it has I use mineral oil inside of the machine. And what it'll do, after it's plugged in and hooked up, it produces a little bit of pressurized smoke. So what I would do is I would smoke test the intake system, give it a little bit of time. This is doing one in the shop. In fact, I've done one last week. Customer had the same complaint. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do is you've heard the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Same thing. Where there's smoke, there's your leak.
Oh.
And on this vehicle, it was a 2016, it was a Silverado. It turned out to be that the O-ring for the oil cap was missing.
Oh.
And when we're dealing with with crankcase pressures and, you know, we have a recirculation system that doesn't let any of that go to atmosphere. So, you know, it could be something as simple as that, but the best way to do it, he needs to go to the shop, find out if they do have a smoke machine and have that smoke tested, have the crankcase smoke tested. And on the other issue too, also look for oil leaks. There's a possibility that he could have a valve cover gasket that's leaking and it's going down onto the exhaust manifold and it's burning off in that way. And the reason why the odor is stronger when he's not moving is because you don't have the airflow going by it. And the reason why you smell it, when you have the defroster on or heater on, because you have an air intake that's right in the back side of that. So it will be stronger. And of course, like you said, it dissipates as he drives, of course, because of the driving down the road, the force of the air pushes that odor away. So something simple. And, you know, I know he said he looked at things too. It could be something as simple as that. There's we'll say for an example, the air cleaner assembly wasn't attached down properly. But again, the only way you're going to find this is doing a smoke test.
No, and that seems like it would be a pretty easy thing to do. I'm surprised that three mechanics and a dealer, nobody's done that.
Well, that's true. You know, and maybe, you know, they're trying to be cost effective and they're looking for the most obvious.
Yeah.
And I always do it. You know, first thing I do is a visual inspection. Sometimes I say, oh, look at that. It's not plugged in all the way. You know, maybe one of the emission control tubes isn't plugged in. But
yeah.
And it could be something simple. Pay the time to have it smoke tested and get that problem repaired.
That will solve the problem. Look at that. Easy, cheap, quick.
Yes.
Just like us, Dan.
Yes, I know. We're free.
That's true. We are free here at The Car Show. The Car Show is brought to you in part by CRC. If your engine hesitates, idles rough, or wastes fuel, the problem could be a dirty throttle body. CRC Throttle Body and Air Intake Cleaner removes harmful carbon and buildup, restoring airflow for smoother idling, quicker response, and better performance. You can learn more at crcindustries.com. And by Optima Batteries, the ultimate power source. From high-performance AGM and lithium batteries to battery chargers that keep your ride ready to go, Optima has the power solution for whatever you drive. Visit OptimaBatteries.com. A clear windshield is an important part of safely operating your vehicle. Peak Silicone Plus wiper blades feature a tri-layer wiping element constructed with a silicone compound to extend life. 2 million problem-free wipes, to be exact. Peak Silicone Plus and Silicone Platinum wiper blades last 4 times longer than the industry standard, and the Easy Snap Universal Connector System fits most wiper arm styles. You can learn more at peakauto.com, available at amazon.com/PEKK.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, we're easy to get a hold of. We're here every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can call us 866-365-7746. You want to get a hold of us and we're not here. It's not a Thursday. It's not 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to thecarshow.com. Our email's there. Our voicemail's there. Everything's there. It's very easy to get a hold of us. We're very easy to get a hold of. We're not hiding anywhere. Well, sometimes I hide. Dan never hides.
Well, to make sure you display your cell phone number, call anytime, Brian.
Call my beeper, call my pager. I'm right here.
Everything, yes.
Has anything else been going on in the shop for you this week, Dan?
Well, I'm going to mention the simple things, and there has been, more and more people are keeping their vehicles longer. And I had a customer come in with a new customer, in fact, with a 2016 Chevy truck. And this, actually, it was a GMC Yukon, 205,000 miles, great shape for the age. And he was complaining about a noise when the air conditioner was turned on. And naturally, of course, turning on the air and taking a look at it, I noticed that with the engine running, that the serpentine belt tensioner was really moving up and down, up and down. And these belt tensioners have a very strong spring in them. And you think about it a little bit over time, 10 years old, all them miles and the rotations and the tension on it, it turned out to be that the spring was weak in the tensioner. How do I know that? Because when I put my tool onto it and to check a little bit of the tension to take the serpentine belt off to inspect it, it came off very easily. So I recommended to the customer, let's go ahead and looking at the belts, on this truck, there's three belts there. There's, an AC belt and the alternator belt. Okay. And so let's, because of miles, let's do the whole thing. And he agreed on that. So, I made a phone call to Advance Auto Parts and told him what I needed. And he goes, well, I think the parts guy made mention. He said, hey, I think your best bet here, it's less money. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go with the Daco serpentine belt kit and serpentine tensioner kit, all four items. It's about 10% less money. I said, well, that sounds good. And besides that, I know I'm getting the right stuff for it.
Right.
So I replaced, all three belts, and I made sure anytime you change a serpentine belt, you want to make sure that the grooves are clean, because you can have over time, especially with a loose tensioner, you can have rubber transfer that's from the belt going into the groove. So you want to make sure these grooves are clean, because if not, what can happen is that even though you replace the belt, you may end up with a little bit of noise there. Luckily, his were pretty well clean. I had to take a pick tool and clean out a specific area. So you really got to rotate all the pulleys, and cleaned it up, put the new parts back on, and noise was gone when you turn the AC on. And the good thing about it, what's nice about it, is there's a free year, replacement guarantee. That's only if it's defective. Get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're not going to cover it because of wear. Great thing. I love the idea that Daco offers this in a kit. So if it's not just for that 2016 Yukon, it's probably available for a lot more cars out there. But always remember, too, you've got a bunch of miles on your vehicle. When you do change the serpentine belts, I would recommend that you also change the serpentine belt tensioner at the same time.
Yeah, as long as you're in there working on it, might as well make the repair correct.
Well, it's maintenance. Right, because what you don't want to have is have that tensioner get weak and destroy the new belts you just put on.
Good point, because I don't think the warranty will cover that.
No. Not for neglect.
Exactly. If you're not doing it the right way, then I can't imagine them. But you're right. Saving even 10%, especially with some parts, and I haven't looked at the price on the Daco parts. I can't imagine they're wildly expensive, but 10% is 10% no matter what it is. Well, if somebody's going to knock 10% off your bill anywhere, you're not going to say no.
Right. Well, this kit was $232, so 10% is, it's a little bit of money.
Yeah,
so
exactly. And I don't walk past a nickel on the street. You stop and pick it up, that's money. So if I'm going to save even 10%, do it the right way, get the right parts, and you're getting a quality part, Why wouldn't you? I mean,
well, and you also think, just like a lot of the aftermarket, Dayco's been around forever. And you think about it too, what they do, just like Dorman, you know, Dorman mentions their OE fix. You're going to find out with the Dayco parts that it's equal or better than what was on the vehicle. And I know over time, if there's been specific problems, Dayco does improve their product with their tensioners. And, you know, that tensioner alone, keep in mind too, not only, you know, does it tension the belts, but there's also another pulley on that. So if you break down all the components that were there, buying the kit is the way to go.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Cost-wise.
Got one more email here real quickly, Dan. It's a 2010 Subaru Outback Limited. He said he always engages the parking brake when he's parked, and it usually makes a noticeable mechanical noise when they push the button to engage it. It's still making a noise, they said, but it's very faint, and the brake light has begun flashing. He goes, is this telling me that the parking brake is no longer functioning? And if so, is it safe to drive this until I can have it properly diagnosed and fixed? He says, also, I have a rear brake light out, which occurred before the light, and I'm skeptical that the two are related.
Right, which is true. I also agree with that. But
yeah.
But here's what happens. Since they frequently use that, it's an electronic parking brake.
Yep.
What can happen? Two things. Number one, he could have the brake pads in the rear that are worn, and it has an extended amount of travel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, because of use, the actual caliper assembly where the actuator is built into it, the electric motor part of it, that could be failing due to the fact, because, you know, most people, when they set a parking brake, it may be once a week, twice a week, or some people never.
Right.
You know, but if you're on a incline on a driveway or a street, you want to use it all the time, and mechanical components can wear out over that amount of time. So I would say, is it safe to drive? Yes. Is there a possibility that the parking brake may not engage, or actually it is engaged, but it's probably not, the pads aren't being pushed up tight up against the rotor. So, you know, you can set it, but it may roll. So yes, it is safe to drive. But again, most likely you're going to find out that the brake lining should be replaced, along with the, if the service technician makes a determination when it comes time to retract that piston back into the caliper, because it's a left-hand screw, they'll know if it's worn out. And they may start off with replacing the brake linings first, pads, doing a proper brake job, and replacing what's needed, and cleaning and lubricating, and they may find out that it doesn't need that actuator. Replace that assembly, that caliper assembly, and put them back on the road.
Now, if you're, I don't really park on an incline. My driveway's not that big of an incline. I can't even remember the last time I've used my parking brake. Is that something you should use regularly just to keep it working?
Yeah, you should. Well, in the old days when they were mechanical cables, if you didn't use them, the rust.
Yeah.
And whatever would seize up. And
you'd pull that lever and it would snap. Yes.
I don't know how many times I've seen customers that would have a 10-year-old vehicle with a bunch of miles on it that was like in our region, which a lot of the road salts.
Right.
And what would happen is they would have a new driver or maybe a neighbor move their car, and they decided to set the parking brake. Mm-hmm. So they set the brake, and then when the owner tries to release it, the car is not moving. That's because everything was seized up. So, yeah, set it once a week, regardless if it's actuated by cables or if it's an electronically controlled parking brake.
It's good to know. I mean, I very rarely set it, and it's something you don't think about, because if you're not on a hill, I don't think about it.
That's true.
It's good. So it's good to know. Once a week, just set it, go in your house, then come back, unset it.
The next day.
The next day. The next morning. Yeah. You're in the middle of a repair and you need to order a replacement part. But have you really thought about what's in your box?
With 21 manufacturing facilities worldwide, Standard is a full-line supplier of vehicle control and engine management components, offering more than 50,000 precision-engineered components. Fuel injectors have to provide precise fuel delivery for efficient combustion. The quality and calibration of injectors is absolutely critical, as lower-cost injectors can reduce performance and even cause long-term damage to the engine and emission components. Standard uses high-tech laser drilling to customize discs for each application and indexes them correctly at their state-of-the-art Greenville, South Carolina manufacturing facility. From MFI and GDI injectors to high-pressure fuel pumps, Standard's precision engineering helps deliver OE-matching fuel economy, performance, and emissions. Professional technicians have trusted Standard since 1919. You should, too. Learn more at standardbrand.com.